what's up? I'm Zach.
And I'm Ben.
And you're in a band called...
Cayucas.
Which is, I do believe, a surfing kind of town in Southern California near that San Luis Obispo place. Let's see, Santa Monica, Oregon Bike Trails, Twin Brothers, Cal Poly, transferred to UC Santa Barbara. There was a talent show where you were Belle Biv DeVoe. Have I covered it all?
I think everybody likes to talk about themselves. So if somebody's asking you questions about Cayucas, it's like, this is something you're passionate about. So like, it's all good. But I will say, like, the little hobbies that we have, like, we're obsessed with coffee. If somebody was to ask me what my favorite coffee shop is, I could talk about that for a little while. Because we've become actual coffee snobs. We like our coffee to be expensive. $5 a cup, or we don't drink it. Nobody knows about Ben's background as a sommelier. If they just digged a little deeper. I'm surprised you didn't catch that.
You know, I thought I did all the research. So 2011 was about when this started as a project. As a project.
Yes.
And this is what gets bandied about, right? One human being, computers in various closets and living rooms and stuff.
Right.
So what I'm curious about is not that, ooh, project to band. I'm more curious about the fact that was it the live show and the realization you had to do that made it become a band versus a project? Or if that never existed, would it just still be a project?
It was a project because basically for the 5 years before Oregon Bike Trails, every 6 months I had a different project, a different quote unquote band, which is a project. It was three or four songs that I would write and wouldn't actually fully form into a touring band. So this was a project that started to gain more and more attention, and the live show became something that needed to happen, and more than just being a project and a laptop and a keyboard, there needed to be a full band. So that was exactly why it turned into a full band.
Were you signed as the project, or were you signed as the band?
Signed as the project. So without even seeing the live show, we got a record deal and a booking agent, which is kind of interesting to have a booking agent who hadn't even seen the live show. We hadn't even really played a live show at that point. So I think they just kind of had faith that things would work out.
Okay, so since you're related to the human who just said that, is he just good at fooling people?
Oh, no, this is all true. We did everything backwards, kind of. Like, before we even had a band, we had a record deal, which is kind of weird. But actually, now that we've been doing this a while, and I'm starting to realize there's a lot out there. There's, like, a lot of, like, a singer and a guitarist that write songs together, and then they get signed, and then they need to put a band together. So it's actually not that uncommon. I mean, the band, it's actually more uncommon to see four or five, like U2 or something, four or five guys that have been friends and still play music together. Like, that's actually almost more rare.
A headlining tour with a record versus a headlining tour versus, you know, with we're on our third or our fourth gold record. It's a very different world we live in. And yet, because tours are what they are, and where we are right now, things like festivals, it gives bands and acts a very interesting opportunity to build that fan base hugely and become headlining purely as a result of that. But the only thing that really has to hold up is that it has to be good material.
And I will point to a really good example of that is Foster the People, who...
Amazing, right?
Who from what I've heard, had this one amazing song, and... Basically,
I'll give him two songs.
Okay.
I'll give him two songs.
Yeah. And then, from what I heard, once they had this song, they needed to put a band together, and they toured under fake pretend names for about a year in preparation for what was going to come once that song was released and into the world. So that's a very good, that's a perfect example of a band that just had one amazing track, and then built everything else around that track.
But as that relates to you, you also, not only did you change the spelling to mess with people, but it's self-named, but it's not self-named because you changed the spelling. So there's some interesting rock and roll decisions for a moment. Well, let's see, our band name is this, we're going to change the spelling. Oh, we'll release this as our first single.
Well,
what are you thinking?
Here's the problem is that we went to SLO. We lived in San Luis Obispo. Cayucas was this magical place that we went to once or twice. I didn't know how to spell Cayucas. I thought it was spelled with an A at the end. So I spelled it with an A. And then once, but that was just the song. It was the song Cayucas. It was spelled wrong, but I didn't know it was. Once we decided we needed to change the band name, we said, you know what, this is a really good band name. We'll call the band Cayucas. Then we made the song the proper spelling, which it already was, but we didn't, you know, it was just kind of weird. We made the song the proper spelling, kept the band name as the way I thought it was spelled, and we were going to name the album Cayucas. It was going to be a self-titled album, but apparently that was just too much, so we had to give the album a name.
For a project where originally everything's in the box, you still found this guy from the Shins, this Richard Swift guy, and says to yourself, self, or band self, I want to make this more. And obviously what comes with that is a really cool studio in Oregon, and I'll fill in some of the blanks. You did one song a day, so we don't have to go over that again and again and again. So I'm curious to know how that all kind of came together.
That actually came from a lot of people who were recommending Richard Swift, who thought that he would be a really good producer for the songs, the original songs. That came from different manager people, came from the record label. And we were actually both fans of Richard Swift. So we, you know, once we heard that he was producing albums, we thought that'd be an awesome idea. Also, he's like known for his ability to play every instrument amazingly well. We didn't have a band at the time, so we thought two birds, one stone. But I wouldn't consider it like bringing in a huge player. He's a very indie guy, and right. And you know, his prices are very reasonable too. So it wasn't spending us huge all of our money on this expensive album. It was still very DIY and organic.
Do you think High School Lover is kind of primed to be that next thing that's going to find its way across the stations like a Safe and Sound, you know, where we just hear it every 5 minutes? And when you sit and you compose stuff and you think about it, do you say, yeah, you know what, because I mean these are songs full of hooks, so you've done your history, we can go through the whole, yes, we know you approached, I'll give you a quote, you approach nostalgia carefully. That's one of your quotes.
I would love to write a hit, like a huge, you know, Foss of the People type hit.
Maybe not that one.
I don't know why that keeps coming up, but yeah, I think we just like writing. I personally like writing hooks and like writing good choruses. Right. I think we'll see what happens on the next album. This was kind of a first album. High School Lover was our big, you know, single song, but I think it was, and it's done really well at radio and stuff, but I don't think it, we talk about like the production, the overall production of this album was kind of, yeah, it's hard to say, like the production is different, that's kind of why it stood out a little bit, but did it need like a big budget production to be, you know, a Safe and Sound type track on the radio? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Let's talk about genres, because you know everybody is trying to position this as a surf record band thing, and I mean just because you got harmonies.
Well, I totally agree. It's like, and I think if it had like the bluesy surf thing. I don't really.
Paging Dick Dale. Paging Dick Dale.
See, I don't gravitate towards Dick Dale in that music. But we are born and raised in California. Like, we have a couple songs about.
Summer thing.
Yeah, Cayucas. But I think what kind of happened was it's sort of a vintagey sound, and then you can kind of gravitate towards the Beach Boys. The reality is there's only one song about the beach on this album. It's Cayucas. But I think it just doesn't have that Dick Dale guitar stuff, which would make more sense.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between. It's not a playlist. It's called, I want you to pick two of your songs, and then I want you each pick five or six or seven songs in between, off the cuff, off the top of your head,